Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. Again, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And you basically heard it already this morning. So, in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn child, son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they had made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. And now, we'll start with my first picture, the creepy one. All right. So, this morning, as we talk about this Christmas story, it's familiar, right? It's not just familiar because you just heard it 3 minutes before. It's familiar because you've heard it a whole bunch of times in your life, right? The angels, the angelic chorus in heaven, singing glory to God in the highest, right? And we think about how wonderful and amazing it must have been to see that, right? Like maybe this big concert or whatever's going on in heaven, and you're out in the fields and the only ones who are there are the shepherds. And it's almost like Woodstock Zero, right? Right, year zero. And the only ones out in the fields are the ones who are out really late. And the message that they get is really cool, except that message is, hey, go into town and you're going to find a kid in a feeding trough. That'll be how you know what's happening is true. Do you think people thought they might have been a little crazy? That they might have had something in their coffee that night? Right? When I was little, I was like, why are they terrified? Right? And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It always made me wonder, why are they so scared of an angel, right? We think of angels as like how Harper was dressed, right? Couple wings, nice halo, they're cute and sweet and friendly and this, that, and the other. What if I told you that depending on which kind of angel, based on what it says in like the Old Testament and stuff like that, they may have looked like that. Now, if one of those shows up in front of you out in the middle of the darkness, out in a field, you're going to be terrified, right? Now, the ones like, do we hear like Gabriel and things like that who showed up for Mary, probably, at least according to Scripture, looked a little bit more like people. So it would be less terrifying, other than the fact that you're a young girl and you're in your bedroom and all of a sudden there's this glowing dude in your room, right? That would be pretty scary, okay? And then he tells you, oh, by the way, you're going to have a baby, right? That's pretty terrifying. But all that laid aside, okay, we have this story where there's one angel that tells them first, and then there's a multitude of angels, and there's all these different kinds of angels, and I picked this one because it's particularly creepy, right? whole bunch of wings, eyeballs and tubes and circles and all this kind of stuff. Like, this is the kind of thing that might be in a sci-fi movie, right? Not so much a, like, church movie, okay? Not The Night Before Christmas and then this angel showed up and we ran, right? You can understand why they were terrified. And this is why angels are always saying, hey, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, calm down. I know I'm this really creepy thing with a bunch of wings and eyeballs, but it's okay. God has this wonderful message, okay? And so the angels are in the field, and they say this. Notice, the scripture seems to say that they are praising God, the angels, the multitude, and the heavenly host are praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven. Now, we have taken that glory to God and we turned it into something in the hymnals, right? Right? Gloria, right? And we sing that for like 35 minutes, like Hey Jude, right? And that's what we've decided that they were singing. But the scripture doesn't say they were singing. And actually, the word, I was doing some study on this, and the word that's used for this multitude in heaven is actually more like an army. It has militaristic connotations, okay? So you think about an army of angels gathered in heaven, some of which look like this, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. What about the ones God doesn't favor? I'd be kind of scared if I was the ones God doesn't favor at this point with these guys hanging out. And so they say this, and they're a multitude, an army of angels, and they're chanting. And the image that I get when I think about this is football players getting ready to go out of the locker room. You ever watched that, like maybe before a big sporting event, right? Maybe they had since I see the South Carolina hoodie, we'll stick with that. Maybe you got Coach Beamer getting the players riled up before the game, right? And he brings in some big guy from the past, you know, like a Lattimore or somebody like that. And he gets them going, and he's like, and now we're going to go out there, right? And we're gonna show them, and we're going to win. And then what do they do? They jump around and they bounce off each other and they run out and they knock things over, right? You think of Notre Dame and how they come out of their locker room and there's that sign, right? And it says, play like a champion, and everybody hits it, right? There's all these traditions. Clemson has the rock that you rub and all this kind of stuff, right? Everybody has some sort of tradition that gets you excited, gets you pumped up, right? To go out there and play hard, right? To win. To be victorious, right? Because that's what they want to do. They don't just want to go out there and play hard, right? No, they want to win, right? And this is how I imagine these angels. They're like, hey, let's go. We're ready to run. We're ready to go through this brick wall because our Savior is here on this earth. We're going to follow him into battle, right? Imagine if we looked at the angel's message as a call to action, right? When you, anybody who has been ready for the big day. Now, that big day doesn't have to be like a sporting event, okay? That big day could be the big concert. That could be the wedding planners getting that wedding all set up, and you've got your stuff, you got this, let's go, right? It could be a program at school. It could be all kinds of different things. Whatever it is, whatever you're thinking about, where you're part of the team and you've got to do your part and everybody's got to do their part, and you know if we do this right, it's going to be amazing, right? And you're ready to go. Now, you think about, if we go back to the football analogy, right? You've got the linemen. The offensive linemen, they're thinking, I got to be big, I got to be hard to move, I've got to get in front of the fast guys, and I got to keep the quarterback from falling over, right? And you got the receivers that are thinking, I got to go really fast, and I got to cut here, and I got to do this, and I got to catch it, I can't drop it. And you've got, everybody's got a different assignment. The kicker is over there in his own head thinking, Lord, just don't let me have to kick the game-winning field goal, right? Everybody has something, and they've all got a part, and they're thinking about it, and they're planning, and they're going through, here's what I do, here's my part, here's where I put my feet, here's how I stand, right? Everybody's ready, because if everybody works together, then you can do something amazing. Imagine if we looked at the angel's message not as, oh, it's so glorious and wonderful, and now I can go back to doing everything the way I used to do it. What if we said the angels are giving us a call to action? A call to action that was reflected in John the Baptist, right? Make all the rough places plain. Fill in the holes. Knock down the mountains. Make everything just. Right? What if it's that same message that's reflected when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind," all of that. What if that's the message? What if that's the part that we have to play? What if the angels are getting us hyped up in the locker room so that we can run out through that tunnel and we can believe and be ready to do whatever it is that our coach is calling us to do? What if that's what the angels are calling us to do? What if we realize that we got some of these fellas at our back? That when we go and we serve and we bless, when we visit those that are in prison, when we help those who are blind to see, when we feed the hungry, when we love the unloved, when we do all of those things, that we are not doing it alone, but we have the hosts of heaven, the army of heaven at our backs. Maybe we'd feel a little bit less nervous about it. Maybe we wouldn't be as worried about what opposition we have, right? There's a perfect Christmas story going on right now, and it's in multiple fancy cities across America. There were churches during the pandemic that realized that a lot of our social services got turned off because of everybody not being able to be together, right? You couldn't have soup kitchens. You couldn't have things like that. And what many churches did is they said, "We can fix that. We've got parking lots. We'll take turns and we'll feed hungry people outside, mass, and all this kind of stuff." And at first, most of those towns, which, by the way, had a lot of money and don't like having homeless people hanging out, they said, "Okay, it's fine because we know that's the only place they got to eat." But then as things started to calm down, you know what they started doing? They started passing ordinances and laws that said, "Well, you can't have groups of more than five outside. You can't have groups of this, and you can't do this in a parking lot unless you've got the right permits, and you have to have a permit like a restaurant." And now, they weren't saying you can't feed the hungry, but they were saying you can't feed the hungry. And because they didn't want those people hanging out. Now, I, as a naturally conflict-avoidant person, who doesn't like to, Kristen might argue that I don't like to argue, who doesn't like conflict, I might say, "Well, this is just so, I guess we'll just have to give up." What if we realize these guys are on our team? What if we realize that, you know, maybe you've watched a football game, you've heard them talk about the hog mollies, right? The big old dudes that get in front of you and pave the way. We've got angels at our backs. We've got the army of heaven on our side. And now, right now, as we speak, there are people out there who are saying, "I don't care what you say. If I have to go to jail, I'm still feeding the hungry." Imagine if we had that same kind of passion for what Christ calls us to do. What if we said, "We are going to go out into this world, and we are going to love, and we are going to serve, and we are going to make this world the way that Christ envisions it to be." And if I get scared, I remind myself that everybody else is just as scared as what's coming behind me as I am of them. In fact, they aren't anything compared to these guys. And so, what if we were ready to do that? Now I'm going to take down the creepy angel. Next slide. There's a poem that goes around every year right about at Christmas. And it's by Howard Thurman. And it goes something like this. It's on the screen. And it reminds us of once Christmas is over, right? We think of Christmas as being over yesterday, right? We opened the presents. We threw away the wrapping paper. We may not have even played with everything, but we opened them. And now Christmas is done, but it's not. And it goes like this. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, and when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and to make music in the heart. Folks, Christmas just started, and the work of Christmas is always going on. To show the world that Emmanuel, God is with us, is true. That when we go into a place, that we don't just say, hey, you should believe that God is with us because I'm here and I'm really great. That's not enough. What if we came into a place and he said, you should believe that God is here because you were cold and now you're warm. You were hungry and now you're full. You were lonely and now you have companionship. That is what it means to do the work of Christmas. May we go, may we open those presents, may we be present with those folks that we see, and may we realize that we have those angels with us, blessing, healing, and scaring the crap out of anything in our way. Amen?